Hey, welcome back to another episode of Laser Graves. I should mention, I never do this. This is a podcast about the 80s.
What?
Well, when we first started for like the first many episodes, we had a canned intro where I talked about that we cover movies, music, and events and books from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then I changed the song and I realized it doesn't explain what we cover.
Oh, yeah.
So here you go. Episode whatever, 48 or something.
So we talk about the 80s, you're saying?
Yeah, apparently that's what this podcast is about. Is
starting when?
Starting now.
Oh, okay.
I'm your co-host, EK Wimmer.
Hi, EK. I'm Mariah. Just Mariah.
Okay.
I stuck to it twice. Third time, it's mine.
This week, we are going a little sci-fi, if that's what you want to call it. Yeah, I mean, it's legit sci-fi.
Yeah, it's full sci-fi. But it's... yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it's easy to get lost because we also have vampires.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, it's a debate for the future, like 5 minutes in the future.
It's going to be amazing when that happens 5 minutes from now.
Yeah, but not before then.
No, oh, definitely not.
Not now.
Don't want to give away the goods.
Not now. That would be crazy.
Speaking of 80s, I had a find this week at a thrift store.
At a thrift store?
50 cents.
What?
I found a copy of The Dungeon Master with Blackie Lawless from Wasp, which we really got to do this movie. I don't know why we haven't already.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I don't think you have either. And we already owned it. But I had a kind of, it was a decent copy, but not a really amazing copy. But this one was just sitting in a bucket, and it is in great shape.
A bucket?
Well, like a plastic barrel with all kinds of movies.
Okay.
And I was digging through it, and I found it. It's in fantastic shape, so.
I just pictured it sitting, like, in the janitor's closet.
Yeah, you know, with, like, a drip going over it. He's like, hey, you get away from my bucket of tape, boy. So, that's not the only find I had, though. What? I realized I actually have something non-VHS related this week. So, Halloween just passed.
Mm-hmm. It was yesterday.
Yep.
For
and,
us.
And, wink, wink, if you didn't listen to our trick-or-treat episode, go back and listen to it, because it's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Do it now.
Although, I don't make that clear in that episode.
No. No.
So, we had to prepare for Halloween, which meant we had to get costumes.
Oh, yes.
And this week, the last week I went shopping, thrift store shopping for my costume because I was going to be Bob Ross, the painter.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed some jeans that were like kind of bell-bottom-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some that...
Remarkably quickly.
Yeah, like first try.
Mm-hmm.
They fit perfect. The only catch was that they are women's jeans. But man, they're comfortable.
They look nice.
So I'll post a photo on our Instagram of me wearing those women's jeans, but as Bob Ross, not just with the women's jeans.
You also, we went trick-or-treating and people stopped you and our friend. So our friend was dressed as Edward Scissorhands. You were dressed as Bob Ross. And it seems that it would be not like a pairing that goes together.
No,
well,
no, not in a million years.
No, but it did.
Yeah.
He trimmed your hair and everybody had to take a picture.
Yeah, it kept saying, can we take a photo? And I'd be like, yeah, I'll wait for you, because everybody wanted a photo with Edward Scissorhands. Because his costume was awesome.
The bomb.
Yeah, but to my surprise, many, many times they were like, no, Bob Ross, get in there. And I'm like, okay.
So. It is weird though, because what are you going to do in, like, 5 years when you look on your cloud and you see a picture of two strange men?
Dress. You know what you're going to do is be motivated to try harder at Halloween, because I was disappointed.
Oh, to up your Halloween game?
Except for that metalhead guy.
He had a playlist.
Dude, there was this guy who was dressed in, like, Norwegian black metal gear, you mm-hmm. know, with the face paint, the wig, and all that. But he carried around a stereo that he had, as he put it, curated the playlist for the night. Of all, like, Norwegian black metal. And he would just blast it.
And headbang.
Yeah, he would stop in the middle of a crowd and headbang and then walk off. And it was like,
great.
It made my night. We took a photo with him.
And his, like, wife or girlfriend was dressed as, like, a deadly ghost bride.
Yes.
And she, like, went along, but also was somehow just quietly standing there staring off into space, which was fascinating to me.
Yeah,
every time
nice.
He did that, she gave zero reaction and just stood there like a silent ghost.
Like, here we go again.
Yes. But yeah.
What'd you have this week? You find anything?
I did. Only one thing, but it was important. So Halloween is one of my favorite times to go thrifting. because I like to have costumes. Really, what I'm looking for now is a sandwich costume because I want to wear it.
To match your banana costume that you already have?
I want, like, a full refrigerator full of costumed clothing.
I want to go into the closet and it'll look like a Fruit of the Looms ad. Remember how they used to dress up in those giant costumes?
I want those costumes.
There's, like, grapes and a banana.
Oh, grapes would be so fun.
Grapes would be fun.
Not to ride in the car, though.
Yeah.
But
we should get all of our friends next year to go, all go as one of the Fruit of the Loom characters, and then we'll just walk around.
How many were there? There were grapes, fruit. I was going to say fruit. That's not one.
Yeah, there was definitely fruit.
Grapes, a banana, an apple?
An apple, maybe. Maybe a strawberry?
Maybe. I don't know.
We're just going. Kiwi, possibly?
A cranberry? Just one.
Just a single cranberry?
That would be so disappointing.
Anyway, what did you find?
Okay, so I was looking through the Halloween racks because, incidentally, I also find just clothes that they think are weird. Like, oh, that's a strange 70s dress, and I'll grab those.
But, oh, that they put on the... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're always like, oh, this is definitely a funny costume. And then most people like us are like, this is amazing.
I'm like,
outfit.
Yes, and it's $4. I will wear it every year-round. Yeah. But instead, I didn't find anything for me. I found for our dog, Betty Sprinkles, she's a Basset Hound, an old, lazy, lazy, lazy Basset Hound. I found the classic hot dog dog suit.
With the mustard on top.
I was so excited, and I put it on her. All she does is just lays down in it, but it's so cute.
It is adorable.
And so I waited. The girls, our daughters yesterday, were like, can we please put it on her? It's Halloween. And I was like, that is not a Halloween costume. Yeah. She wears it after Halloween.
Yeah, this is her after
this
Halloween
is her
costume.
Everyday clothes.
Yeah, yeah, so, that was
yeah,
a good
that
one.
That was it.
All right, well, that was some good finds this week, I think.
Incidentally, my finds for last week were hot dogs.
Oh, they weren't they? You got a theme going.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, it's a run of 2 weeks. What will the next week
maybe
hold?
Maybe you could pose Betty in her hot dog costume holding the hot dog shakers.
How is she going to hold it? She doesn't have thumbs.
Well, just lift up her paws and put them under so it looks like she was holding them. Yeah, it'll be cool.
Okay,
trust
that's going to work.
Yeah. All right, well, this week we are going sci-fi. We're going space age. And we're doing a return of a director who we've already covered once before, the one and only Jim Wynorski, who did, we covered Sorceress. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
That gem?
How could I forget it?
Oh, man, I love it. One we haven't done, we were talking last week about Holdouts because we did Trick or Treat finally, which was like a major one to cross off the list.
Yeah.
And we had done Night of the Comet, but I realized one of the other big, big ones that we're holding on to is Chopping Mall, another Jim Wynorski film. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. But this is going to have to do for now, because I love Sorceress, too. I'm a fan of his early work before he got real creepy and just started doing, like, only Skinamax, like, movies. They're funny. The documentary's funny of him covering one of those. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. But this is a good one. And it wastes no time. I mean, it is very clear from the moment it starts that you're watching one of his films produced by Roger Corman. Like,
this is
this is the epitome of that. Like, you know it.
There is nothing bad that happens in this movie. And if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it.
Yeah, Not of This Earth, directed by Jim Wynorski, produced by Roger Corman, starring Tracy Lords, which we'll get into. And is this a first time watch for you?
Yes.
It is?
Sorry, you just said get into Tracy Lords.
No, it's already started.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
She's great, and I love her in this. So
Yeah, she's fantastic. No, I'm asking, have you seen it before?
No, never. I had never, ever seen it.
I haven't either. I thought I had. I feel like I've definitely seen parts, maybe like on an Up All Night or something like that. But
Oh, wait, yes, I did tell you that too, because I think I did see one scene of this on Up All Night or something.
Yeah, but I've definitely never seen it all the way through. I've always wanted to because, first off, because of everybody that's involved, all three that I just listed.
Yeah.
Like, if all three are in that, I'm going to watch it. I just never got around to it. And then I finally, I got this tape through a trade. And so it was cool. It's a little faded, but I don't mind. It's clearly it was a rental and well loved, but I
well.
Oh no, cut it out.
Nice Dave Coulier reference.
Yeah, right. We're just getting started. So, yeah, this is first time watch for me. I guess that's the whole point of what I was just trying to say. This this also stars Tracy Lords, as we mentioned.
Who?
She notoriously was a porn star first.
Yeah, she has. I mean, her story is well known.
Crazy. And she was in over like 60 films. But then this was her first outing to be like...
Oh, this is her breakthrough? Yeah, this is her very... For some reason, I thought it was Crybaby.
No, that came right after this.
Oh, okay.
So this was her first go, and she was like, all right, you know, I'm going to like make a real run for it. I'm going to be a real actress. And this is the first and only one of all the films she did post porn that she had any nudity in. After this, she refused still to do any nudity, which is interesting because Jim offered her a role right after this. And it required nudity, too. And she said no. And so, yeah, she went on to do... I think she did one more right after this. And then after that, she did Crybaby, okay. Which is, you know, awesome. We've got that one, too.
Oh, but... that one's a masterpiece.
And then the one that I really love her in is Shock 'Em Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Metal. Because you know how I am. Like, if it's got heavy metal and horror, I'm sold.
Yeah.
And she does great in Shock 'Em Dead, too. And then I've got a few others that are non-horror that maybe we'll get to. But I think most of them are 90s, like Time to Kill and stuff like that.
Yeah, she definitely flourished in the 90s.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed her in this too. I think it's great that she did that. She turned a corner and, you know, made her own way. Like, good for her.
It must have been like, thinking of the time in which she was working, I can't imagine making a pivot like that.
Oh gosh.
I can see it maybe more nowadays where it just wouldn't be much of a deal, but at that point in time, I can't.
Yeah, it's weird.
I can't really wrap my mind around how she succeeded at doing that, because I feel like there would have been so much pushback.
Yeah, what's kind of the ironic part is, back then in the 80s, you do porn, and then to try and go legit, it's hard to do. But now it's like you have a legit career, and then you desperately want to put out a porn so that you can like get some more attention. So you're like, you know, whatever, Gene Simmons or Hulk Hogan Tommy Lee. So it's kind of like it's the opposite now, where
gross.
Pamela Anderson, you want to put out a porn after you've made it famous to like keep your name. But this was the original way.
Mm.
You had to work your way.
Okay.
So, okay, well... It opens with some pretty bitchin' special effects. This is good stuff.
So there's like an approaching spaceship, and it's going for a landing on planet Earth.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of got an Alien Space Avenger feel, and that came out in 89, so that was after this. I'm wondering if they were influenced by it.
I got strong Space Avenger
because it's got
vibes.
That like 50s car at the beginning, and the spaceship crashes with the alien. I was like, okay, this is definitely Alien Space Avenger, but clearly this came first.
Yes. So the spaceship lands, and we cut to a couple, like, humping in a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a funny scene.
It is, and this is how you know you're watching a Wynorski film right away. Like,
yeah. So then they're approached by a man in black. He's like he's got a hat, he's got sunglasses, and don't expect him to take his sunglasses off at any point in this film, unless you want to see lasers.
Yeah, he's like the perfect, here's how I describe him, for those who haven't seen it, I've got it, are you ready?
I'm ready.
He's like the younger brother of the tall man from Phantasm, Angus, but he's like, if the younger brother was a mutant Cyclops.
Who also played drums in like a mellow jazz band.
Yeah, because he's like, he looks kind of like the tall man, but he's mellow like a jazz band. But then when he takes off his glasses, he got like Cyclops eyes. Like, and you know how Cyclops can't take off his glasses? He'll just shoot. He can't help it.
No.
This guy is the same way. He's like, look, you take those glasses off, you're going to get your life sucked.
And also he has a side business as like the most boring accountant or something.
Yeah.
Because he speaks in the most boring fashion of any human ever.
He's kind of like a boring version of the guy from The Matrix, Mr. Anderson. He's kind of like, you know, he just talks in a monotone
but
way.
But less dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. I'm also disappointed because when he shoots his laser eyes at people and like sucks their essence out, I really wanted it to be more like Life Force or something. You remember how like they shrivel up and stuff?
Nope.
That would have been really cool.
I don't even know what he's doing.
We did
doing.
Life Force, right?
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, for sure. I fell
that was
asleep.
Smart of us to do.
Do you realize how long it's been since I fell asleep during a movie?
Yeah, you're really getting into the groove now.
Huh. What's happening?
This one, you can't fall asleep during this. This is a good one.
Well, I kind of zoned out, but...
Well, zoning out and falling asleep are two different things.
It's that where my hand gets real heavy on my... Yeah. Or my head gets real heavy on my hand. Anyway, so we're back. There's a couple in a car. The man in black approaches, and he chokes the humping man out. And
he does choke him out.
I don't know why he does that.
Yeah.
And then he blue light mouth zaps the woman and then hooks up a weird machine to her. And then there's this whole like eye opening sequence where we see a movie before the movie.
Oh, can we talk about this?
What is this... going? Do you have inside information? Because that made 4% sense.
This, I was just like, okay, I had two questions right away. One, how have we not seen this already?
Yes.
And two, what the hell are we watching?
Let's give a little like a little taste of what we're seeing. So while the credits are running, it's like shots, like if you were watching the end scene of a TV series where it's like flashing back on everything that happened at the episode, it's like that, but at the beginning of the movie when we've seen just moments of stuff happening, and it's like people running, people being scared.
Oh,
and
then it's more than that.
Yeah. It builds. It's like aliens and like aliens humping and like blood drinking and weird tick people.
Oh, there's like stop motion creatures. Yeah. And it keeps freeze framing too, which is really great. Dude, this is my favorite part of the whole movie.
And I was like, is this all what's coming?
Okay, so...
And the answer is no, it's not.
And then the best part is it freeze frames on this zombie woman giving birth to an alien.
I forgot about that.
And then it just freeze frames. It just freeze frames and says, directed by Jim Wynorski. This is the best film ever made. Yeah. So I guess what happened is those are all clips from other Roger Corman films.
Oh, what?
I don't get it.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. If anybody knows, chime in on our social media and fill us in. But I am not asking questions because this was... pure cinematic genius.
Yeah, I could have just watched that and walked away satisfied.
I loved everything about this.
It was so good. And then that's over. And we go back to our man in black, who's named Mr. Johnson.
Right.
He pulls up to a clinic. he pulls up in like the wrong parking space, like in front of a fire hydrant, and goes inside and basically just demands a blood transfusion.
Yeah, he does. It's funny. And this is where we meet Nurse Tracy Lords. Her name's Nadine Story.
Story, okay.
Yeah, and the alien, yeah, just wants a blood transfusion, but the doc's not having it, so he uses mind control on the doctor to get the blood transfusion.
Also, the set of this is hilarious. Yeah. It cost, clearly... $12.
Yeah.
They found like a white room, and they're just like, put these prefab bits of furniture, and there's like the beakers, and it's got like red water, green water,
so cool.
Yellow water.
This is like classic case of like, just make the film, go to the dollar store and get the props, make it happen. But
so
somehow it adds to the whole entire
scene. I loved
scene.
It, actually, yes.
I did too. And so in addition to mind control over the doc, Mr. Johnson also offers Nadine a job for...
Like a live-in nurse.
Yeah, will you come just be my live-in nurse at my mansion? And she's like, oh, sure. So she goes outside with Mr. Johnson, and he's illegally parked, and there's a cop who we quickly learn is her boyfriend.
They're in some sort of a relationship.
And he's really awkward the way he's talking to her, and then he's like, hey, how about a date? How about burgers and fries? And she says... You know my taste by now. It's lobster and Chardonnay all the way.
Oh, girl.
Is that a combination or what?
No. Solid no.
The soundtrack's good in this. Did you like the soundtrack?
I didn't make a whole lot of note of it, honestly. Tell me about it.
It's done by Chuck Cirino. He did Chopping Mall. He did a bunch of Jim's films.
Yeah, I know Chopping Mall soundtrack.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I feel like you can't have his films without this kind of music, too.
Yeah,
it's just,
okay, yeah.
Adds to the whole taste, but I really liked it.
Okay, so then after establishing that he is going to have Nadine as a live-in nurse to give him his blood transfusions, which makes zero sense, but he's mind-controlled the doctor into saying that's a good plan. He drives himself home with a plan to have Nadine meet him there at a later date. He goes over to his house and we meet his servant or butler named Jeremy. And we
whatever he is.
Yeah, we learn later, and I'll just tell it now just for continuity's sake. Jeremy, I guess, had been breaking into the house where Mr. Johnson lives, and Mr. Johnson busted him and then offered him $1,000 a week to be the manservant. And basically his only job is to keep people out of the cellar, and then he brings breakfast every day, but Mr. Johnson doesn't eat it.
Right. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, this is like the classic you make your own way story in America.
I think this is a classic too good to be true story.
Yeah, imagine breaking in a house to rob it, and then the owner's like, you're good at what you do. How about $2,000 a week? You know, like...
Okay.
Man.
I'll pay you in
heroin. I feel like I'm still searching for something like that.
Oh, no, you're not searching
for
that. For
somebody to just roll up beside me and be like, hey, I heard you do that. Can I give you money for it?
We cut to a scene of at night, and there's a sexy, like, plant lady in her house. I call her a plant lady because there are so many gorgeous plants in her house.
This scene's absurd. This is, we get to her via golden retriever running through the fog at night. This is where we pick up the story is like.
It connects the houses.
We're now watching the story, the backstory of a golden retriever who runs through some foggy forest.
He's such a good boy. His tail's wagging happily the whole time.
To reveal some woman in lingerie brushing her teeth.
Amidst her plants. Yes.
So awesome.
And she's like looking around. This is, you can tell, it's like her moment. She planned it. Lots of like, oh, ooh, as she looks and feels creeped out.
Yes, it's something special. It's also, back to the manservant guy.
Mm-hmm.
His outfit with the hat and the butler jacket and all that, I couldn't help but think of...
And his, like, hand grips.
Yeah.
Like, the fingerless gloves.
Yes, I couldn't help but think of the guy from The Wedding Singer. They're cones. What's that guy's name? Rob? No, it's, Robbie's the main guy.
I don't know.
Anyway, his buddy who drives the limousine.
Yeah.
He has like the same outfit. So I just kept thinking they're cones the whole time.
I like it.
Yeah.
So Plant Lady has a sensation that something's wrong, and she's like running through her house scared, and like kind of puts on a shirt over her sexy lingerie, but makes sure to leave it.
She leaves it draped off the shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Mr. Johnson's there and he gives her the blue light special.
Yeah, there is a really funny moment that you pointed out when we were watching it, where she clearly like grabs the phone because it's the phone on the old cord.
Yeah.
And she pulls it all the way across her face and then like stops, and you can tell there's this panic look, this split second where she's like, oh shit, like the director told me not to do that.
Yeah.
And then like switches it back over to the other ear.
Totally. I imagined it was like take 32. Yeah. And the director was like, do not put it on your right ear.
Yeah.
And she was like, whoops, sorry, whoops,
and he's
sorry.
Like, screw it, we got to just keep going.
And
at
so
this point.
She just, pulls it halfway across and then quickly pulls it to the left ear.
She did good. Her parents are proud.
No, they're not, but she did fine.
So back to Tracy arrives. She's telling Mr. Johnson.
Nadine,
yeah, sorry. That she's dying to see her room when she arrives.
Yes, and she kind of flirts with Jeremy.
What I love, and she says, I'm just dying to see my room. Mr. Johnson in his monotone goes, you're not dying. I am dying.
Oh, it's so good. What an awkward thing to say.
So, Johnson has a chat with someone's... I'll save it because I'm sure you're going to be very excited to talk about this scene.
Study?
Oh, yeah. You perked up hard when this scene happened, which was for good reason. I mean, like, because the dude enters.
Okay, so Nadine goes to her room, and it's supposed to be like a super fancy room too. And did you notice that? But it's also like just a super cheap hotel room or whatever.
That's some mansion that they're shooting in.
Whatever.
It's kind of cool.
But the room was not fancy. If I went into that hotel room, I'd be definitely checking for, like, bed bugs and chiggers.
But the wallpaper was pretty crazy throughout that house.
Okay. So he, like,
FYI,
gives her her room for the night, and he's, like, it's his time now. He's got something to do in the study. So he retires to his study. Yeah. And then he uses a weird ray gun that is in there.
He uses, this only comes from Jim's films. It's like he took a gizmo, like one of those scanners that you use at the supermarket, and then like glued buttons on it to make it like a sci-fi controller.
And he just like aims it at a bookcase.
I love everything about it.
And then it opens up to reveal what looks like a long corridor, but is also very obviously like two lights and a mirror.
Well, they even like run into the mirror a couple times. Well, that one woman in particular, the so birthday girl, yeah.
So, and then we see the best character maybe ever in a movie.
Oh, man, is he cool.
Oh, how do we describe this man?
Here's how I described him.
Okay.
He looks like somebody's uncle with a beard.
Okay.
But he's wearing a long blonde wig and has shades.
Yes.
It's so cool.
I honestly thought Jerry Garcia wearing a long blonde, like, flaxen wig with black shades.
But he's even, like, less hippie-ish than that. He's, like, it was like the producer, one of the associate producers said, look, I'll give you some money, but I need to have a scene in this. And he just walks on, and they're like, okay, cool, wear this blonde wig, this woman's wig, and some shades, and you're going to be the, like, leader alien checking in on Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, so he's, like, a pudgy, middle-aged man. Did we mention that he has long, lady lovely locks, blonde hair, and a beard?
I think we've mentioned that a few times.
Wait, blonde hair. Anyway, he's also got black slacks, and he's standing in this what appears to be a long corridor, but is actually a mirror. And he is there to collect information from Mr. Johnson, because we learn in this scene that they're a race of vampires from a different planet, which is named... Did you? I don't know if I wrote it down. Did you?
No,
it's like
I didn't.
Something with a V. I think I wrote it at some point.
I really slacked off this episode.
Okay. So he says that, like, he's waiting for new information on, like, whether or not they can come and live on planet Earth or take the Earthlings for their blood. And Mr. Johnson, in his deadpan voice, is like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm sucking the blood. I'm getting the transfusions. And then the blonde-haired gentleman offers him a 5-point plan.
Oh, right. Yeah, he has a PowerPoint, basically.
And so the way that it's done is like a call and response. So the blonde-haired man says a long, elaborate, like, you do this, step one, and then Mr. Johnson repeats it. So step one is to study the human species, their planet, everything. Step two in the 5-phase plan is to increase Earth blood being sent to them, because apparently he's been sending them Earth blood. And step three is to send them a live specimen. And then step four is to see whether or not Mr. Johnson lives or dies from all the Earth blood and living on Earth.
Sounds pretty solid to me.
And if he does survive, step five is take over.
Sure, naturally.
So, good.
Hey, I just looked him up while you were talking.
Yeah?
Yeah, he has a name.
Jerry Garcia.
No.
Oh.
Beam Man. And his real name's even better. What? I wish they would have given his real name as his character's name.
What is it? Is it like Googly McFadden?
It's Zoran Hochstadter. Zoran Hochstadter was born in Yugoslavia. Oh, man. This guy just got so much cooler. Oh, holy cow.
Wait, what's his
last name? I'm going to start looking up all his movies.
What's his last name? Hochstadter?
No. Hoch, H-O-C-H, Stadter, S-T-A-T-T-E-R, but the A has an umlaut like Motley Crue style.
So maybe it's like Hochstadter?
Oh, there you go. Zoran Hochstadter. But I play Beam Man in Out of This Earth.
Oh my gosh. Okay. The role of a lifetime.
Yeah. There you go.
So then we go to Jeremy delivering breakfast to Nadine, and he freaky creeps on her. He also employs a mirror to look at her wiping her butt after a shower. like drying her butt off for a very, very long time.
Yeah, they're really getting everything they can out of this.
So he's set breakfast on the table and he's looking at a mirror that is angled perfectly so he can see her in the bathroom.
You know, this is where normally when I watch 80s movies, you know, you expect like some cool music and some cool lighting and lasers and some nudity and some cool kills. Like, that's just 80s culture, mm-hmm. like 80s horror culture. This, though, I can see why she's like, you know what? I think I'm done with mm-hmm. the nudity. Because this scene is clearly, like, you just be naked and talk? But she could have delivered all of this
yes.
with her clothes on. And no she need. Looks, like, physically bored by this scene. Like, yes. can we just get this scene over?
Can I quit drying my butt?
She dries her butt for so long.
How long do you take to dry after you get out of the shower?
Yeah, like, and fun 30
fact. 30 seconds?
She already looks dry to begin with. So
yeah. Oh.
I'm going to call this one out and say...
She's not drying that long.
Mythbuster. She didn't take a shower.
What? Yeah. No, but she's drying. So she must have.
Yeah, she must have.
Then it goes to a scene of her giving Mr. Johnson a transfusion. That's awkward.
Yeah.
And then he tells her, like, thanks, you can have the day off. I don't need another transfusion till tonight. Which, for the record, that's an awful lot of transfusions.
That is. Well, but he's an alien, man.
But she doesn't know
so
that.
So he's a vampire? Is that what you're saying?
He's a space vampire.
That's a subgenre like Life Force, right?
Yes.
They were space vampires.
Exactly. Same race, actually. Fun fact that I just made up. Yes.
Oh, nice. I wish that this film would have ended with Mr. Johnson's naked old body impaling himself with a sword to one of the sex workers that comes over.
Oh. Like,
he just uses a sword to stab himself. And then, and then Mr. Beam Man, Zoran, arrives with his shades. And he shoots a laser beam. And then in Europe, this is called Life Force Part 2.
Oh,
man. What could have been a podcast we're going to start?
Yeah, instead we move on to weird pool flirting, which is what I had. It was just basically a reason to show how sexy Tracy Lords is, I think.
Yeah, yeah, just get it. Get everything you can.
I mean, she looks great, that's for sure. And also, it just establishes a real creepy rapport between her and Jeremy.
But she stays in her bikini for so long. Where she notices...
Uncomfortably long, yeah.
She notices smoke coming out of the chimney in the house.
Well, because while she's been swimming, a vacuum salesman has come.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The vacuum
tried to sell a vacuum.
That guy really is... He's a good actor.
To Mr. Johnson. And Mr. Johnson says, no persistence. Leave my house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He does have some pretty cool
And then the
cool
sales
words.
Guy says something about cleaning the cellar, which really piques Mr. Johnson's interest. So he takes him to the cellar and gives him the blue light special and then tosses his body into the furnace. And so while all this has happened, Tracy Lords sees the smoke from a burning corpse and comes, but I guess Mr. Johnson's out of the basement. So she goes down into the cellar and takes a look around and doesn't see anything, but accidentally leaves her sunglasses.
I felt like I had seen that guy, the vacuum salesman.
Yeah, he looked like he thought he was somebody.
I think he is somebody.
Somebody thinks he's somebody.
I think he's in Wonder Woman. I'm looking it up right now because that's what I'm doing. This is real life.
Real
Charlie's
time.
Angels, Taxi.
Are these the originals or the reboots?
No. This, like, he was the original in all these. Okay. Oh, man. The Fall Guy, Magnum P.I. This guy's a real deal. A-Team.
Then
oh,
why does he have a 30-second bit part in the movie?
He was
movie?
In Commando?
He just has 30-second bit parts.
Damn.
Everything.
Oh, you're going to like this one. Are you ready?
No.
Oh, sorry. It was a TV series, Sidekicks. I thought it was a movie. We're going to get excited.
I'm so excited. You're right.
Oh, he's Officer Krueger in Slumber Party Massacre 2. That's how we know him.
Oh,
that's the
I'm
only
sure.
thing I would know him
yeah.
from.
Or Sidekicks. You haven't gotten that far in the future
Perfect
yet.
Strangers. Remember that one?
Yeah. With, what's the character's name?
Yorgi?
No, it's like...
Zoran.
Yep, that's it. Okay, so
dang, this guy's in some cool stuff.
Then the doctor and the cop, who is now a boyfriend, like, now the cop is suddenly a boyfriend, whereas before, like, when he was not giving Dr. or Professor Johnson or whatever, Mr. Johnson, a ticket, they were like flirty, but now he and Nadine are officially a straight up couple.
Is this the sex scene with them?
No.
Oh, that's really funny.
The cop recognizes Jeremy as a degenerate, like, that he's arrested before.
Oh, because they, like, went to school together.
And I think he's arrested him.
Okay. Well, this is a subplot we needed.
Yep. And then the doctor gives, like, blood feedback, something about evaporating blood.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that the blood is evaporating inside the veins.
He does a cool shot, though, where he's examining the blood and it's like a white cell, but it just looks like a balloon that somebody's sucking in and out. That, I don't know.
That's evaporating blood, Derek.
You know what? I'm a fan of it. It's cool.
I like the idea that it can evaporate from inside of a body.
I would have been jazzed to say I worked on this movie.
I would be embarrassed if I were the scientist who gave them insight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He is like, this is not what a white blood cell looks like.
Okay, so after the doctor and the cop leave, Jeremy and Mr. Johnson drive. And I don't know what their plan was, but they go out, they spot three sex workers and hire them all.
Why were they driving around?
He had just asked to go out. So I think he was wanting to do the blue light on somebody. And also...
the blue light special.
Yeah. At some point, it is explained, though it is never clear when he's doing the blue light, that it's draining them of blood somehow. Because right. There's, like, a news broadcast where they're like, all victims are found drained of blood.
Okay.
So that's what the blue light does somehow, is magically pulls their blood out.
But he goes... And it's kind of like Big Trouble in Little China style, where the eyes...
Yeah. It's all about... Up. It's all in the eyes.
It's all in the reflexes.
He smizes at them.
So, yeah, and it, so he goes to the red light district.
Oh, to give the blue light special.
Oh, you know it.
Color play.
So he goes there. He picks up. We can skip ahead. This is all pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
it's boring. Like a sex scene between Nadine and her boyfriend.
And then there's this scene where all the sex workers come back to the house, and one of them immediately goes and robs him. Do you see? She walks in and she goes over to the coat rack and digs in the coat and steals the money out of his wallet.
She's cool. Like taking care of business.
Yep.
They go down
to the basement, this part.
Yeah, and he just gives them the blue light special in the basement.
Yeah, well, they, like, take all their tops off, and they're like, we're ready to party, and he's like, oh, no, they ask him to take off his glasses, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't this the scene?
He says, like, they say take it off, and so he takes off his glasses.
Yeah,
and
he, like, cyclops them, yeah.
Isn't it right after this that he gets the strippogram?
No, that's coming up.
Oh, okay.
That's a little bit later. So then boy, it goes, she makes an impression.
So then we go to the cop shop where there's a scene discussing the victims. And this is really the only insight from the cops we get. And I don't even know why they had this scene in the movie. I was like, are they going to solve this? But they don't. And then Mr. Johnson receives a transfusion and offers a cure to cancer.
Oh, this scene.
To
yeah.
Nadine. And she's like, I don't even know. And she's like not at all interested in the cure for cancer.
She does the it's an old person talking thing, you know, where you just tune them out. And he's like, but I have things to tell you. I've lived my life, you know, but in this case, he's like, I have a cure for cancer. And she just totally, she does the millennial thing and tunes him out.
She blank stares him, shuts it down, does not want the cure for cancer.
This is pretty awesome.
End scene. And then we go to the birthday stripper who comes and starts like full on stripping in the front entryway. She has like a sash on, a birthday sash, gets her boobs out, and then discovers it's the wrong address. And then he's like, it's okay, come with me to my study. And he takes her up, and she is phase, what is it, 3?
She's keeping track of the phases, huh?
She's the human specimen. So he sent more blood. Now we're on to the human specimen. And I think he tried one other time, and it didn't go well. But this time, he sends her through, and Mr. Johnson says he'll know about phase 4 in 3 days. Phase 4 is when he's going to die, so he's going to know if he's going to live or die in 3 days.
Okay.
These are arbitrary numbers, but they have been assigned. And then we go to Nadine and Jeremy are now like a sleuthing team, And they're trying to figure out what's up with Mr. Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Don't they, like, steal some of his drink that he was going to have? And it gets examined. The alien woman comes back at this point, right?
Well, she was... So, yeah, she doesn't come back. She comes through.
But, like, there's an introduction of a new character who's this alien woman.
And we were very confused because she kind of looks like every stripper, sex worker. It's just, like, blonde and buxom.
But she needs blood right away.
She's very ready for
blood.
And
she, like, goes out on the streets. He gives her some blood.
Oh, and I wrote it down. The name of their planet.
Cool.
Divana.
Divana.
Yes, if we accidentally have another child, let's name it Divana. Boy
Divana
or girl.
Divana sounds like a John Waters character.
Oh, it does.
So what ends up happening is that Mr. Johnson gives this alien woman blood that had accidentally been... infused with rabies in a strange twist.
Whoops.
And she's like wandering the streets at this point, and some street punks come up to hassle her.
He gives her the blood and then just like, bye bye. Yeah. He gives her some like loose instructions and
they're like,
sends her off.
They're freaking out. And then she rages on them.
She
kills
goes
them,
bananas.
And then she meows. Did you catch that? And steals a cape off
I
of one
I just said
of them.
There is a meow. I don't know that
no,
she
meowed. No, I think
meowed.
She meowed. I think that was her meow.
Something meowed.
But she, regardless, a meow happens and she walks, somehow she walks away unscathed.
With a cape.
With a cape on and they're all like beat up. That was, man, what a scene.
Where did the cape come from?
And then it turns into a full on like slasher at this point because now she's wandering the streets in a cape and she has a knife. And just starts stabbing a woman repeatedly?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is like a film within a film. I think like they forgot which film they were making.
Yeah, they just shot. I feel like there was a longer thing that got cut. Because it really didn't serve any function or purpose.
Well, would you like to know a fun fact about this film? Jim Wynorski made a bet with Roger Corman.
Uh-huh.
That he could shoot this in 12 days.
Would
you like
this.
To know? If he won or not?
He won. Was it 4 days?
No, you would think so. It was 11 and a half. Just sweeping it photo finish.
That's awesome. And I 100% believe that.
Hey, so we get back to Nadine. Did you notice her makeup's really weird? She's got like a white face.
Oh, that's the 80s thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not flattering.
No, it's the 80s thing because people didn't know about like blending their foundation into their neck and stuff.
It's sad because she's...
Or matching
I assume
skin
she's
tone.
A lot more attractive than they have
Oh, she's
her.
Super beautiful.
But they've got her... She looks funky with that
white
makeup on.
Okay, also, look at the caliber of film. I'm guessing they didn't have, like, top-of-the-line makeup artists.
Okay, so I do get the makeup. So speaking of Nadine, we can skip past a lot that happened.
Yeah.
But what happens, basically, is that she puts two and two together and realizes that Mr. Johnson is an alien and trying to, like, take their blood.
Mm-hmm.
And... He's coming after her. This is where we're going to pick up.
Yeah.
He's coming after her in the house. And Jeremy busts in and sees what's happening and shouts, "Hey, Klingon!" And then shoots him. But it doesn't work. And he gets the laser eyes. He's dead. Oh, that's a tragic loss to everybody.
Oh, the tragic end to Jeremy. Fingerless glove man.
But he did his job because... Yeah, the cones. But he he does his job because she manages to get away. She runs outside... And Mr. Johnson runs after her, but his hat had been lost in the previous scene.
Yes.
Now his hat's back on. There's this, like, continuity error.
No.
Speaking
it's
of
no
which,
problem.
And Alien Space Avengers. Remember how that guy's pants would be on and off? And then... Man, if you guys haven't heard that episode, you should go back. Do yourself a favor.
I really love continuity errors. When I catch him, I feel smart.
I really love that movie, Alien Space Avenger.
Yeah, it was good.
Gosh, that's a good movie.
This isn't that, though.
So, here's what we get that we were missing.
What?
A car chase scene.
Oh.
We're really missing a car chase scene.
You can't have a movie without a car chase
scene. But we get one
scene.
Here. Man, this film has it all.
It does.
There's this cop, the cop guy, the boyfriend on the motorcycle. He's a Chips cop, by the way.
Yes. Okay. He's always been a Chips cop, but this is when you go, oh.
He does make a reference to Chips.
And he's got...
Like in the bedroom.
He's got the winged pants, too.
And he's got the hair. The Eric Estrada.
He's got it all.
Yeah, he's got it all.
He's got it.
It's working.
All.
It's firing on all levels. But now it's overboard. Now women look out.
Yes.
He's impregnating women that are watching as he's driving by on this motorcycle with his beautiful hair. And then there's this huge car chase between Mr. Johnson and the cop on the motorcycle. and Mr. Johnson keeps looking back going, look in my eyes, look in my eyes. And he's got his like laser eyes.
It's so weird though, the way that it's cut. Because he turns over his shoulder and he's like, look in my eyes. Yeah, but he's not actually saying look in my eyes. It's the mind.
Oh, right. He's using his mind control. And the cop's like, no. I'm not going to look in your eyes. And he's like, but look in my eyes. It's very awkward.
He's so, like, no, look at the road.
Yeah. And then the car goes over the bridge.
Yep.
And it blows up, which FYI, this is what happens to a car when it goes over a bridge and hits the water. Unlike Trick or Treat, when Ragman runs over and then he's like, ta-da, in the radio station 2 seconds later. Mm-hmm. I just want to take note. And he blows up. And that is starting to wrap it up. We're then in a graveyard and we see a tombstone in the foreground.
Yes.
It pans up. There's a new alien walking towards the tombstone.
Oh, but the tombstone reads. Do you want to say it?
No, go ahead.
Oh, you look ready.
No, go ahead.
On your toes.
It says,
here lies a man who is not of this earth.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Who paid for that tombstone?
Roger Corman.
Who took responsibility for
and
the
corpse? And then there gets this awesome freeze frame ending. And that's the film, man.
Yeah, and it left me going, where is the humping, like, tick giant from the intro scene?
That was misleading.
Wanted to see that so bad.
Man. This film.
It was something else.
I loved this film. We don't
What
rate,
happened to everybody on Divana?
Wow. Huh?
What happened to everybody on Divana? Did they die?
Well, they'll just find another planet. Or Suck they'll send blood? Another minion to come.
Oh, like... I guess they sent the
Oh, yeah,
guy.
Yeah, the end guy, duh.
So they're still trying.
They're still giving
Maybe
it a go.
Maybe they're still trying now, even as we speak.
I believe... Well, that was The Matrix, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that was not of this earth. And
it was out of this world.
Yeah, it was. It was stellar. Laser Grave is approved, 100%.
Yeah, watch it.
Definitely watch it. This is a good one.
Yeah, I mean, there is nothing to... I see no chinks in this armor.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. That's
guys
what we had to
gals.
Offer. Well, guys implying... All right, people. Well, that's it. Guys and gals. That's this episode. If you like what you heard, the best thing to do is to subscribe and rate, review on iTunes. That helps
us.
Share. Please. It doesn't take much to just share one of our posts on your stories on Instagram. Just
make that one of your random acts of kindness.
Totally.
Week.
Yeah.
We'll feel it.
Yeah. Help the needy out. And you could follow us on Instagram. We're at Laser Graves. Mm-hmm. We're on anywhere you get podcasts, iTunes,
all the places.
Spotify, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then if you want to follow us on our personal accounts on Instagram, I'm at death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And that's it for this week. We'll be coming back next week every Tuesday.
Here we are.
Tell a friend.
And we'll be there then.
And it's going to be out of this world. Wait, no, not of this earth.